That is a word that we don't use very often, but it just means persistence. Anybody here persistent? That's a good thing. Sometimes it gets us in trouble.
Yeah, it does.
So, you know, it's so neat to be able to come together, guys, and worship together and enjoy the fellowship that we have. And just the joy of being together is really, really precious. You know, we really missed everybody this week in our absence. It was an excellent lectureship that we was able to go to. I'm glad that we chose that lectureship to go to because Jared and Anna live there, and there's two little children that we get to visit. And so that was a fun time. Met with the elders in Fayette, Alabama on Wednesday afternoon and had a good visit with them about the work in Jamaica. And so plans are progressing and things are going good in that. And so that is good. And then we stopped to see April and Deacon then and visited with them and then got stranded there. So I put down hardwood floor on Thursday and installed doors on Friday, and then the weather cleared enough that we could fly home. So we got home about 9:15 Friday evening. And so Dorothy was thrilled that we had three real good landings. And so five real good landings. Okay, so she's counting. And so...
Thank God.
I think that's who she was thinking. So,
well, I would be.
Dorothy gets scared pretty easy when you maneuver clouds and all that stuff, but we had a good time and we enjoyed it. I will say that Deacon surgery is scheduled for April 23rd, and so we intend to go to that surgery and be there a couple days. We're not sure exactly, so be praying for him. And Seth is on an airplane from somewhere in other side of the world, and he will be home tonight at 10. And so the Red Cross was able to get him out and coming home. So we need to keep them in our prayers. You know, I see all of these songs and all the emotion that's in some of those songs. And we're talking about our singing in Bible class this morning. And there's just such a wealth of information and a lot of emotions that are stirred and as we look at them and as we sing those. And I think they're designed for that. They're praise to God, but they're also there to help us to gain an encouragement and help to stir up thoughts in our mind about how great God is. You know, when I'm an awesome wonder, consider all. God is amazing. God has done so much good for us. And he blesses us so richly. And so that's something that I think it's important that we keep in mind as we go from day to day. Please guide us or please think about that as we go about our daily life. You know, the lesson this morning is late night friends. I want you to know, guys, as we go in this whole parable is about how good God is to us. I think a lot of times we don't stop to think about how good God is. It's easy for us to go in our life and we ask Him for things that we want and it's easy to not fathom the greatness and the love and the kindness of God. And as we look at this situation with this late night friend that comes to the guy's house and he's knocking on the door and he says, "Open up." He said, I got somebody that came. I need food. I don't have anything for him to eat." And the guy's saying, "You're crazy. All my kids are in bed." And of course, if you'd understand this particular time, it's kind of like knocking on door knocking in Marshalltown. And you knock on the door in the morning, and of course you open the door, and it's just covered with people all over the floor. Have you been in those houses? Yeah. And so for them in that setting, and they were like that. They probably had one room houses, and then everybody slept in the same locality. I mean, they were probably on pallets or whatever, but they were in one locality. So when one person gets up, you know what that means? Everybody gets up. And so the friend, you know, and keeps on knocking, say, please, please, please let me in. The guy said, leave me alone. I don't want to disturb my family. But his importunity, or in other words, his persistence, the guy says, keeps knocking, says, please, please get me up. And the guy says, well, look, if I don't get up and get him for him, I'm never going to get any sleep. And he's going to have everybody in the house woke up anyway. So let's just go ahead and get him. And so because of his persistence, the friend goes ahead and he gets up, gives him everything he needs so he can get him out of his hair and go back to sleep. But I want you to remember something. The whole purpose of this is to show that that's not the way God is. God wants to bless our lives. God wants us to pray. He wants us to ask, to seek, and to knock. And He wants us to recognize that we can come before Him, and He's anxious for us to come, no matter what time of the day or night it is. That's our God. You know, and as we look at this, I've pulled back in and gone back into the Old Testament, and I've looked at some examples, and that's kind of where I want to begin this morning as we look at some of these examples in the Old Testament. And the first one is a very negative example. But I think it's a good example to use as we think about the asking of God the things that we desire. And so if you would, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 14. And I want to notice some things here. As we, just a little backdrop to what's going on here. When Solomon was reigning, a prophet came to Jeroboam, which was a servant of Solomon, and he said, you're going to get 10 parts of the kingdom, and Solomon, and there's going to be left 2 to Rehoboam. And so at that particular time where Solomon died, it wasn't long before Jeroboam came back into the picture, and there was a civil war. The kingdom was divided. Jeroboam, who is not a descendant of King David, is taking over the kingship of the northern 10 tribes of Israel. 10 of 12. Rehoboam, who was youthful and inexperienced and kind of lacking wisdom, made some stupid choices, and he got 2 parts of the kingdom that was left to him. Now, one of the things that God has always required of individuals is obedience. Well, Israel does not have a good track record anyway. I've been reading through Judges lately in that reading, and I want to look at the last verse in the book of Judges. And this is actually in there a couple times. But it's interesting that we see the attitude of the people. And so in Judges, in page 240, Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And having just read through this, it's hard for me to fathom. Because the people would receive all of these great blessings of God. And as a period of time would go by, whether it's 20 or 40 or 80 years, they would slowly turn away from the things that God told them to do. And because of their disobedience, God would turn them over to another nation which would oppress them. And when the people began to come to their senses, they would go to God and say, God, please help. And they don't stop to think that it was own disobedience that got them into that trouble. And God, as merciful as He is, would bring in a deliverer who would come in and rescue the people from the enemy. And then peace would come to the land again, but then the people went right back to their ungodly, disobedient deeds. And in the course of time, they would again be given to an enemy that God would send a deliverer. And guys, as we look at this period of time, we see this reoccurring theme that there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Jeroboam followed that pattern. Jeroboam instituted evil worship. Jeroboam turned from following God. And Jeroboam did some terrible things that God was displeased with. And so we come to a time where a child of Jeroboam is sick. In verse 1 through 9 it says, "At that time Abijah the son of Jeroboam fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, 'Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child.' And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose, and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said to Ahijah, 'Behold, the wife of Jeroboam comes to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be, when she comes in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman.' And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, 'Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go, tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I have exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in my eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back." You know, I look at that situation, and it's always been one of those things in my mind. I look at it and say, "So why couldn't he have just followed God?" But Ahijah, or rather Jeroboam, is wanting to ask a petition of the prophet that God would heal his son. And he desperately wanted that to take place. Now, as we follow through in the story, we find out that God said, no. God said to his wife, when you go into the city, he's going to die. When your feet cross, he is going to die. God said, no. And that's hard to think about. But as we go back and we look a little bit more at this, in verses 7 and the first part of 8, it says, "Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as have I exalted thee among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to thee." I think we need to look at the greatness that God gave Jeroboam. As we look at what Jeroboam has done with those blessings that God has given him. He spit in God's face. He was disobedient. He didn't do what God said. He turned the whole people away from following God because he wanted to keep them from going back to Jerusalem. He didn't follow the commands that God had given, but God exalted him. That's really a shame. Jeroboam should have known. Jeroboam should have said, "Well, you know, I need to scratch my head here and think about how blessed I am, and the fact that God is the one that done it. God's the one, the prophet of God's the one that told him. He said, 'You're going to be king. You're going to get 10 tribes. Surely he knew that the blessings were from God. I got to wonder in my mind, what makes people think the way they do? Why did he do that? But at any rate, God exalted Jeroboam, but the problem is that Jeroboam turned from God in the last part of chapter, of verse 8 and verse 9, it says, "And yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before you. For thou hast gone and made the other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back." I look at this and it says, to do that only which was right in my heart, or in my eyes, says God to Jeroboam's wife. Jeroboam turned from God with all those blessings. It's interesting to note that God didn't turn his back on King David. Go back in your mind and think about the story of David and think about the life that he lived and all the blessings that he had and the things that happened. King David followed God. He did all that was right in God's eyes. Yes, it tells us about a few of his sins, but he turned from those when he realized what he had done that was wrong. David was a man after God's own heart. But Jeroboam, on the other hand, he chose not to. We'll turn down to verse 12 of this. And we see the result of this petition that the wife of Jeroboam asked of God. And the prophet says in verse 12, "Arise therefore, get thee to thy own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die." It's hard to understand the knows of God. But I think as we've looked in our Bible class this morning, we've recognized that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We see the opportunity to petition God, but we also see the responsibility of obeying God. As he said of David in verse 8, he said, "To do that only which was right in my eyes." And that's the way King David was. Jeroboam wasn't that way. I want to turn now to a positive-negative example, but the example of Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet of God, and we see him now at a time in his life where he had done so much good, where he had such a difficult battle to fight with the prophets of Baal and the challenges that were there. And Elijah was the man in James chapter 5 that we are looking at, that he went before God and he asked something. And in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto the Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." We learn in James chapter 5 that Elijah prayed to God. And because of his prayers, there was no rain on the earth for 3.5 years. Now, I don't know if you can imagine that. Especially right now, you probably can't, because we've been getting rain. Actually, in this part of the country, we moved here from Jamesport. And on the years that are a drought here, we're saying there's been a lot of moisture this year. I know when we moved up here, I thought it would never stop. I couldn't believe how much rain we got in this part of the country. I'm used to Jamesport, where you could pretty much go most of the summer and hardly get any rain whatsoever. It was a challenge. But Elijah asked God, his friend, "God, I asked that it not rain for 3.5 years. And God said yes. Now, some of these details we have to fill in from the passage in James, but we recognize that That's exactly what happened. If you flip over to chapter 18 and look at verses 42 and 45, it says, "So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees." And then in verse 45, "And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel." After 3.5 years, Ahab found out that it rained because Elijah prayed. And so we look at these two things. Both of these people petitioned God. In one of these examples, we have a man that petitioned God for the health of his son, and God said no. Now, I believe it's kind of clear as we see God speaking through the prophet to Jeroboam's wife. He said, "He hasn't been like my servant David to do only that which I command him." As we look at Elijah and compare what it says in James chapter 5 and verse 16, the righteousness of that man. Elijah was a man of God, a man that stood up for God, a man that did his best to teach and to help people to change, a man that was preaching against the prophets of Baal and trying to get the people to turn from those idolatries and come back and to serve God the way that he said. They didn't want anything to do with it. They were much like the Israelites, I guess. Maybe that's because they were Israelites, but you know what? We can be so hard on the Israelites and miss the point. You know why we have the story told of the Israelites and their rebellion against God and their lack of obedience? It's so you and me will take stock of our own life and not be that way. That's the whole purpose. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I know this is a side note, but it's interesting, and I think that we need to recognize that all of these things, they happened for you and me. They're written down for you and me to look at. It says in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." God recorded these things for you and me to look at. We need to recognize and see the difference between late night friends. We see a man that did not want to obey God, and God said no. And we see a man that was a man of God, a man that obeyed God's word, and God said yes. I want to go to James as we come to this point of the lesson. I want to look at these verses, and we've alluded to them, but I want to go in and I want to read them. In James chapter 5, in verse 16, this passage that we looked at, it says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." You know, I look at that passage, and I look at this example of late night friends and a God that his desire is to help. He wants to help us. But I recognize that also within that passage he says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a righteous man. Elijah prayed that it would not rain on the earth, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Jeroboam, a man that did not want to obey God, prayed and God said no. He said, "Your son is going to die when your feet cross into the city." Righteousness, guys, is involved with our late night friend, God, that we petition for our desires. I think it's very important that we recognize that we have a great God that can and will answer prayers. We've got a great God that desires us to come to Him at any time of day or night, and He's not going to put us out because it's late at night and it's an inconvenience. He's not like that late night friend, but He's the one that wants us to come before Him. But we need to understand that righteousness is involved in that coming before God. I want to go to the passage in 1 John, a couple pages over, chapter 3 and verse 22. And this is one aspect of righteousness that I think is important to see. Now, we need to remember that without Jesus, without being in Jesus, we won't be righteous. But we also need to understand there's our part of that as well. And in verse 22, it says, back up in verse 7 and then 22. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Elijah recognized that, and Jeroboam did not. But we come down to verse 22. It says, and whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Compare Jeroboam with Elijah. Jeroboam was a man that kept the commandments of God. That, I realize, was in the Old Testament, but we have the same thing spelled out very clearly in the New Testament. We receive the petitions that we have because we ask of Him, but also because we keep His commandments. And so we need to make sure that we follow God in all that we do. As I look at these things, sometimes my mind goes back to the Apostle Paul. And I know that the Apostle Paul was a great faithful man. But you remember that Paul said, God, please take this thorn in the flesh away from me. Remember God said no? So let me ask you a question just a minute. Do you think that's because Paul was not a righteous man? I don't think so. I think there's a balance here that we need to understand. We can ask for a lot of things. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. There is a matter of trusting God to know better than we do. I know that the Bible teaches about obedience to His commands. But I think we need to understand that Jesus, when He asked that that cup would pass from Him, and God said no, it was not because Jesus was not righteous. And it was not because the prayer was not fervent, intense. It was because it was not within His will. And those are things that we must keep in mind as we look at this aspect of God hearing us and answering our prayers because we're obedient to His commands. Guys, we need to understand as we consider this subject, and this is the purpose of the parable. God wants you and me to ask. In James chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. I think we need to remember that God wants us to take all of our concerns to Him. It's so easy for me to bear the burden of my afflictions and my problems on my shoulders. I think it's natural. But I have learned that when I just give them to God and let Him have them, in faith, and we'll be looking at that more this afternoon, but it takes the burden off my shoulder. I love that passage in Psalm 46 and verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. It's hard to be still. It's hard to give Him that trust. It's hard to be willing to say, God, You're in charge. It's hard to be willing to say, God, You're in charge and I'm going to do what You say even if You tell me no. Because sometimes God says no. even to those that are righteous, including Jesus and Paul. God, though, wants us to ask. I want us to notice that the second part of that is, any Mary, let him sing psalms. Did you notice that both of these go towards God? Praying and singing. You know, I had a great time singing with brethren this time, and then I come back and we have a great time this morning singing psalms to God. I love it. I love that opportunity. I love to be able to meet with brethren and pray and petition God. But guys, we need to recognize that these things are both directed toward God, and they must be. One is for His glory. And the other is for our well-being. Be still and know that I am God, He says. You and I depend on Him for all the good that comes in life. We have a friend that we don't have to hammer and hammer and hammer on his door to get him to say, come. You know, when Kathy called last night at 5:30, she says, what do you think I ought to do? I said, we're going to come in and take you to the emergency room. She didn't need to ask twice. In fact, she didn't ask. I told her. Sometimes I get a little bossy. But God is there for our well-being. And we don't have to ask 10 times, because He really truly is a friend. And He cares. Guys, we have a late night, early morning, late morning, noon, early afternoon, late afternoon, evening friend. He wants us to come talk to Him about what's on our heart. He wants us to trust Him to take care of the needs that we have. But I believe we also learn that He wants us to be obedient to the things that He gives us. I often have to recognize that so much of the Bible is consumed in obedience and disobedience. We don't naturally like to do what somebody tells us. You know, that's why communism is such a disliked government, because the people don't like it. Somebody tells them everything they're going to do. But I'm going to tell you something about God. God is King. Christ is King. He's given us His will. He's told us how it's going to be. Our job, as the ones that have the privilege to go before His throne and ask anything and everything that we want at any time we choose, our job is to do what He says. Whatever that is. Doesn't matter. And the glory of following God is not really answered prayer. It's heaven. This life is going to end. It's going to be over. And when this life is over, we're going to answer for the things that we've done in this body. To those that have been righteous and obeyed the commands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, eternal life. But to those that are not, in Romans chapter 2, it ain't pretty. Indignation, wrath, damnation. Guys, we need to come to Jesus on His terms. Whatever He says. It's easy to come to Jesus. Not hard. He tells us in the Word what to do. He says that we come with faith, believing in Him that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, in Hebrews 11:6. We'll look at that more this afternoon. We come willing to make changes to our lives. You know, there's a godly sorrow that when we realize we're wrong, we humbly come before God and say, I got to change. I can't keep doing what I've been doing. That's the tough part. To acknowledge that we need to make changes to our lives. We need to follow His Word and His will. Coming to that stage, we recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. He is the Son of God, and we must confess Him and acknowledge that He has the right to tell us what to do. None of us like it. You know, anybody here want to be a part of a communist country? Where the government tells you what to do? We got one that tells us what to do now. They're into every aspect of our life, pretty much. And all I hear is griping and complaining about, oh, the government tells me I got to do this, tell me I got to do that. Got all these rules and all this stuff. Hey, look, I've got a God, Jesus Christ, that can tell me what to do. And the thing about Him is when He tells me what to do and I follow Him, it gets good. And so I must confess Him before men, but I also must be baptized with Him for the remission of my sins. Peter had the keys to the kingdom, and he used them on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. But then he also tells me I've got to live faithful. I can't turn my back. I can't just get it and then turn my back on Him. I've got to continue to live for Him. Is that your state? If that's not your state, you don't want to die in that state. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation, please do it now while we stand and sing.